The things we do for love. The things we do for love. And all of them are so worth it, aren't they? We love love. Humans, we love love. That's the whole point of this whole thing, isn't it? That's the whole point of this whole entire thing. You know, it's so funny whenever I go places and just observe and listen to people speaking. Every time I meet somebody, every single time that I've met somebody, I've been able to identify within milliseconds something that is preventing them from being as close in their relationships as they could be. It's a blessing and a curse. And, you know, I work with everybody, but I only provide services to people who exchange money to me, which is part of the conversation we're going to be having in this episode, actually. And the reasons behind that are also going to become clear as I move through this episode. And in the economy of love, and in the economy of trust, and in the economy of relationships, as above, so below, as within, so without, meaning everything mirrors everything else. The laws of one thing apply to the laws of everything else. Whether or not those laws are abided is irrelevant. The law still applies. And if you've been around me for any period of time, if you've taken any of our programs, if you've listened to any of our other episodes, if you follow me on social media, then you'll know that part of the kind of core framework that my work rests upon is the natural observable laws of the universe. I'm informed by nature. My practice is informed by nature, by the seasons, because whether or not I'm having a good day or a bad day, the sun always rises and the moon always comes back around. Whether or not I'm having a good day or a bad day, the leaves always turn in the fall, then the snow always melts in the spring. And so this predictability and reliability and consistency of the natural laws of the universe is what makes them grounding. And like we say all the time, the family is the first government, okay? The family is the first government. The family is where we learn what is right, what is wrong, what happens when you make a mistake, what is the restitution for making a mistake, how do I be a citizen of this home so that I can be a citizen of my community, my country, my planet. And so it's these early imprints in our homes that shape how we are in the world, obviously, right? Duh. Tell me something I don't know, Brittany, right? Tell me something I don't know. I thought you talked to the most intelligent people in the whole entire universe, and here you are simplifying, mansplaining something so obvious. But even though it's so obvious, there's so much nuance in this, and there's so much importance in this, and there's so much that we haven't actually looked at and discussed. And that has to do with the fact that a relationship is, unless consciously chosen otherwise, the typical relationship model of our world is transactional. Now, what do I mean by that? The things we do for love. The things we do for love. The things we do to ourselves for love. The shapes that we put ourselves into for love. Because we will do anything for something which we believe has a high value to us. We don't do anything unless there's a benefit to us. Even the stuff that we don't want to do, even the stuff that we wish we didn't do, we did it because there is some kind of an inherent benefit in it. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. Okay? We learn somewhere along the way that when I do this thing, I get this benefit. Whether that benefit is a little dopamine dump in your brain, satisfying your craving to chaos, or the avoidance of a hard conversation because your nervous system can't quite handle sitting in the truth yet, and that's okay. Right? The things that we avoid doing, we get a benefit even though it might end up in consequences or repercussions that we didn't anticipate with that. Okay, now the challenge, not challenge, the opportunity that we work within our organizations is learning how to turn those into moments for connection and deepening your relationship with yourself and deepening your love with yourself. And we model that based on the natural laws of the universe, because the natural laws of the universe don't change with feelings. The natural laws of the universe apply to every single person. And so since our body of work has to do with how do we create unity and harmony within a family ecosystem where the parts and the pieces come from different puzzles, right? How am I going to build a puzzle out of puzzle pieces that come from different jigsaw puzzles? How am I going to turn this into an entirely beautiful co-created, cohabited, co-participated home, family home? How do I turn this house into a home? How do I turn this fragmentation of individual people off in their own individual chaotic worlds? How do I turn the home into the belly button that everybody comes home and rests in, the heart of the home? Right? The belly button, the heart. How do I turn the home into the belly button? And how do I turn the love that you have for each other into the heart? So that when people are off in the world, we still have a connection to them. We still have a longing for them. The things we do for love. But sometimes the things that we do for love because we have a misunderstanding about the exchange of energy. One of the fundamental concepts in our programs is time, energy, money exchange. Okay. The economy of relationship is a time, money, energy exchange based on our current paradigm. You give me this, I'll give you that. Tit for tat, right? This for that. And this is why I've talked to thousands of stepmoms over the years who show up on my doorstep looking like that fox meme, looking like that fox meme, a little frazzled, saying, I've poured and I've given so much of myself to their family, and yet here I am still feeling like I'm on the outside, still feeling like I'm isolated. I'm giving so much of myself and I'm getting nothing in return. Okay, have you ever had that experience in your life? Giving more than you're getting back. In the economy of transaction, this is how we look at relationship, okay? And now there is a really kind of inbred fairness mechanism within humanities, or within humanity, that I'm starting to see now as being more of a very deeply intelligent guidance system of observations that humans have to know and sense who are safe people that we can trust. Okay. And isn't it interesting that we store our money in trust? Isn't it interesting that this thing that makes the world go round has a financial equivalent, a bank trust, a financial trust. We're going to put it in trust. We're going to put it in security. We're going to put it in structure. We're going to put it in safety. We're going to put it in roots. We're going to put it in roots. We're going to put it in a building with security guards and walls around it and dragons and alligators in the moat and archers with flaming arrows. That's how much we want you to believe that what you have given us is so valuable, we're not going to let anything happen to it. We do that with money. Do we do that with love? Or do we just pour our love out, hoping that it's going to find its way into trust someday? If I sprinkle enough of my love pennies on the ground, eventually they'll make their way to some gigantic compounding interest institution and turn into something that can feed me back. Right? It doesn't make sense. We need to be intentional with where we invest our resources, time, energy, and money are all currencies in the love economy. Okay. Now, when I started Step Queen, because I was on maternity leave and I'd always wanted to be a writer. And I said to myself, well, I'm on maternity leave from my career as a registered nurse and I have no excuses left to ignore this lifelong dream of being a writer, this lifelong calling of being a writer that's been on my heart since I was 5. I have this beautiful baby boy at home with me. All I have is time. I should write. And so when I sat down to start writing the Step Queen blog, I wrote from a place that economists would label as being a supportive relationship. I entered into a supportive relationship with the original Step Queen blog. Okay. There was a high value addition to my life. There was a high value addition and a low value extraction in my life at the time that I began the Step Queen blog. I followed it because of passion. I followed it because of purpose. I followed it because of a reactivated calling. I followed it because I had something on my heart that needed to be said. And so the simple act of sitting down to write the blog, there was a gigantic amount of value added to my life because it gave me a creative outlet. And when I sat down to write it, I did not have the intention of monetizing that blog. I did not have the intention of turning the words that I wrote into products and programs and services and offerings that would help people literally on almost every continent so far on our planet except Antarctica. So if you got any research work to do and you want to go put us on the map, that'd be fantastic. I'd love to do that before my 37th birthday in March. So if you're going up there, bring our work up there. Water. Gosh, I love water. I want to talk about some of the mistakes that I made from the time that I started the Step Queen blog until this moment. Because when we start out to speak our truth, there's a reason that we do that. Okay, we always do something that has a benefit for us. And when I started out with the Step Queen blog, the benefit was the creative outlet. The benefit was that it filled me back up by giving me something that I had lost contact with. But once I had been doing it for a while, okay? Once I had been doing it for a while, once I had been pouring out, one of the things that always makes me laugh, if you've ever heard anyone say, you know, oh, it must be so nice to be an influencer, all you have to do is walk around and take selfies of yourself and get paid massive amounts of money. If people knew what the back end of an online business looked like, they would have a lot more respect for what it is that we do, because this is a very complex and amazing world. It's no different. It's no different than building a brick and mortar business, except a little bit different because it's all conceptual and in your mind. You can't walk into your blog. I can't walk into my blog and pull up a chair and have a cup of tea. It's all conceptual, right? This is a bridge between the seen and the unseen, the thought and the thing, right? The impulse and the physical manifestation of that. So online business is a really interesting kind of bridge between thought and world. And only after the Step Queen blog had started to take a life of its own, and the readership had picked up, and we had some momentum behind us, and we had kind of gone baby viral a couple of times for I think I had like maybe 100 and something people on my personal Instagram before I started, you know? So by the time I hit a few hundred followers on my Step Queen Instagram, and I was having conversations with strangers from all over the world who were not strangers, but people I felt like I had known my whole entire life, I was like, you know what, I might be onto something. And I never really wanted to be a nurse, all right? And I love the flexibility and the freedom to be able to write this blog from wherever, build relationships with people all around the world, support them in their homes, support their families, come up with creative solutions for problems, creative solutions that have not been created yet for problems that lots of people are having, right? This might be something worth looking into for me to pursue full-time. That is how that evolution started, right? I was in momentum. I was getting a lot out of the blog. I was getting a lot in return out of, the interactions I was having, the conversations that I was having, the friends that I was making, etc. And at the same time, it was a lot of labor. It was a lot of labor. This is a lot of labor, okay? And because online business is the way that it is, and because women are seen the way that they're seen, and because parenting is seen the way that it is seen, there is a large expectation that I would provide my intellect, my wisdom, my expertise for very low or no cost. And when I kind of got into the world, admittedly, I gave way, way, way more of my work away than I would now in retrospect, looking back. Not because I don't want to work with everybody, not because I don't want to help everybody, but because I do. And this might sound a little bit counterintuitive, right? If you want to help people, then you give your work away for free. Okay? But if you remember the story about the highway, that is what happens when you give your work away for free. That is what happens when you undervalue yourself. That is what happens when you get into a codependent relationship with any person, place, or thing, businesses included. Okay? And yes, you can get into a codependent relationship with your business. And yes, you can get into a codependent relationship with your job. And yes, you can get into a codependent relationship with the way that you look. Your relationship to yourself is a relationship, and you can be in a codependent relationship with the way that you look. Okay. And isn't that amazing that we have this information and can know that and use that information to deepen our love for ourselves? Because we're all going through it, and if you think that this doesn't apply to you, then keep listening to the show. Because what applies to one applies to all. If it's happening for me, it's happening for everybody. If it's happening for you, it's happening for everybody. Whether or not they admit it out loud doesn't matter. This is something I want every single person in the world to get through their heads. If you have had a thought in your mind, somebody else has had it. If you have had a feeling in your heart, somebody else has had it. If you are going through an issue you think you are the only person in the world going through, I can tell you that is unequivocally false. We are all living a very similar experience as human people. The only thing that changes is the lens we see the world through and the way we treat each other. Okay? The way individuals treat each other. Not having the awareness yet that we're all going through the same stuff with a different haircut and a different pair of pants. So I built this blog. I invested tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. I developed a new skill set. And I started to realize I could help people beyond just writing for them. I started to realize I could help people by offering them my body of work. I had been a nurse at this point for already a significant period of time. I was a stepfamily counselor. I became a stepfamily counselor so I could figure out how to not hate living in my stepfamily. I had two careers. I had two careers to support these people, these clients. Because once upon a time, I wanted to be somebody who was like, can somebody look at me as a client and help me? Right? When I had my bathroom floor moment and I was looking for support in stepfamily and support in stepmotherhood and I couldn't find it, I thought to myself, why hasn't anyone created this yet? And so I took my time and my energy and my money and my education and my wisdom and my intelligence, and I began to package it up into bite-sized pieces of support for people who were seeking me out to help them. And I continued to undervalue my work because, as a thought leader, you create a new body of work that has not yet been created. And because I was not operating within the scope of a registered nurse, and because I was not operating within the scope of a stepfamily counselor, I was operating in my own scope of work, which was informed by evidence-based practice, but my own. Okay. And we were having incredible results with people. Incredible things were happening. But when you don't believe that who you are is good enough yet, then how you do something is how you do everything. And because I was just learning about all of this, I was learning about the world, I was learning about making a business, I was learning about fair exchange of resources, I was learning about the sacred law of reciprocity. God is the master accountant, which means you always must give before you take, or God will take 10 times more. And if you give before you take, you will receive 10 times more than you gave. That's the way that it works. And I had been giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And it seemed like people didn't want to pay me for my work. Okay? Now, a lot of that had to do with myself and the way I was positioning that and the way I was languaging that. So that's something that I help my clients with. I help our peace avengers with, right? When they're trying to figure out how do I communicate my body of work. I stumbled my way through that so that I can support my clients now in their own journey to be able to communicate their bodies of work. Right? They get to hop on my, back and take the shortcuts and come through the path that's already been beaten down. And it's so great to have friends along, right? It's so great to have the friends along. And I love being the person in the front of the new trail with the machete, carving the path. I love that. I signed up for that. And what I did not sign up for, and what I did not know was going to happen when I set up my offers, was that I was going to start giving so much more of myself to this entity, which I loved so much, that I would repeat exactly what it was that started Step Queen in the first place, which is that I was over-invested, under-resourced, under-appreciated, and a ton of stress with very little support, compassion, empathy, or understanding from the people who were taking the support from me. How you do something is how you do everything. And I had unknowingly replicated my stepfamily dynamics in the creation of my company. I made myself the stepmother in the role of step queen. I made myself the one who had all of the answers. I made myself the one who was available. I made myself the one that you looked to when you didn't know what to do. I made myself that way because that is how I had learned to do things up to that point. And when people wanted more from me, I gave more of me. Right? If you're listening to this, then the chances are pretty good you're very familiar with what that is like to be caught in this trap of loving people so much and wanting to help them so much and wanting them to see things on their own so much that you think, if I just help them a little bit longer, if I'm a little bit kinder, if I give a little bit more of myself, then maybe they'll start to appreciate me. Then maybe they'll start to recognize me. And so as I am building this company, we are up to multiple six figures a year. We're training coaches. Our body of work is developing, and I am dying inside. I am so tired. I am so overworked. I am so overwhelmed. I'm paying myself hardly anything, if anything, because all of our money is going back into reinvesting into the company and paying the people to support us. I'm going through all kinds of things in my personal life, and I'm trying to communicate and engage with our community. Like, hey guys, what do you need from me? Where are you? But because I set my company up in a codependent way, I had accidentally created an expectation that I would continue to be that person for people for the rest of my life. Because I undervalued myself and my work and my intelligence and what I do so much, I made a promise that I could not keep. Were my intentions good? Of course they were. Did I mean what I said when I said it? Of course I did. Does that mean that I have to sacrifice my health and wellness because of a promise that I made before I knew better? If you've been through any of my programs, what do you think I would ask you in return? One of the biggest mistakes that I made, if not the biggest mistake that I made when I started the Step Queen blog, was not recognizing how smart, how intelligent, how wise, how complex, how technical, how precise my body of work is. So that I would have valued myself out of the gate, and I would have held and abided the natural laws of the universe out of the gate, and I would not have provided more of myself than I actually was able to. Because when I started to feel resentful toward my clients, I knew something was broken. When I started to dread showing up to coach, I knew something was broken. When I started to dread showing up to podcast, I knew something was broken. And I found myself singing the same narratives that I would sing in stepmotherhood. Nobody sees me. Nobody appreciates me. I do all of this for all of them. They don't care. If they would just do what I say. Right? We see this repeating. We see this repeating. What an aha stinking moment. Like, holy darn smokes. I did the thing that I'm inviting my clients to stop doing, which is stop being everything to everybody all the time and be everything to yourself instead. Stop bleeding out for people who don't even know your blood type. Stop making yourself overly available for people who can't even give you the time of day to see what is going on in your life. I'm saying this to my clients, and here I am behind the scenes holding this standard of, because I promised too much of myself to these people, I must continue to do that. Okay? I didn't know how to deal with the backlash of reorganizing those relationships. I didn't know how to approach the reorganization of those relationships. I just know that I just about lost my life because the cycle perpetuated as it does the same way it does in relationships, where you give and you give and you give and you give and you give of yourself more than you're able to until you are completely depleted and there is literally nothing left. And when I say that Step Queen just about cost me my life, I am not exaggerating. And if it wasn't for Sarah, who came in as a client in our programs, this company would not be here anymore. Christy, Annie, Lisa Mae, Emily. If it were not for the people who stood by me when I needed to take care of myself, if I'm missing your name, I apologize, I'm doing this off the cuff. If it were not for the people who stood by me when I said, listen, I can't do this like this anymore. I love you guys so much, and I need to take care of myself, and this is how I need to take care of that. Out of 100 people, I had way more people continue to stand beside me than I anticipated that I would. And the thought of disconnecting myself from that body of work and that entity, it ate me alive. I thought about it for so long. I thought about it for so long before I finally pulled the trigger and said, you know what, guys, I need to reorganize the terms of this contract. This isn't working for me. And I didn't know how to do it because I had never done it before. I had never changed the terms of a relationship between myself and a client before. I was still practicing changing the terms of the relationship between myself and the people that were closest to me in the whole entire world. I was still practicing. I am still practicing. We're always all still practicing. That's the point. Many of us promised to love our partner's children like our own when we first met them, and then we realized we made a promise we couldn't keep. Many of us got in front of our friends and family and said, I do, and promised to take somebody and vow to love them until we both died, and then we had to change our promise so that we could honor ourselves instead. And when I started Step Queen, I didn't know how I needed to take care of myself. I didn't know what I needed to do in order to become trustworthy. Because that is the other extremely important part about this conversation. I was so depleted and so exhausted, and I had created this entire company that relied upon solely me to operate it. Okay? And the work that we do, we are ending domestic violence in the world. We are putting an end to domestic violence. That is what our work is all about. We are ending domestic violence. And if I would have let this work bleed me dry until I perished on the highway back in December a few years ago, who would be doing that work? The work that was put on my heart, the calling that was put on my heart, is so much greater than I am. Step Queen, the whole Step family, White Dahlia Peace Foundation, all of these organizations have a heartbeat of their own. They have a calling of their own. They have a mission of their own. They have a life of their own. They have legs of their own. They have personalities and textures of their own. It's miraculous. And because I was still so insecure with myself And I was still so desperately seeking for validation that who I was enough and that my work was good enough and that I was actually on this planet for a reason. I made that my work. I made it my work to prove my worth to myself. And I ended up hurting a lot of people in the process because I did not responsibly on the front end set my boundaries. I'm not denying that what I did caused hurt to a lot of people. I disrupted a secure attachment for a lot of people who trusted me to be a secure attached place. I understand that. I've taken responsibility for that. I've made public apologies for that, multiple of them. And at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that I had to do what I had to do, because the things we do for love means we abide the natural laws of the universe. And the natural laws of the universe, one of the natural laws of the universe dictates, God is the master accountant. You may not take before you offer. You may not. You can try, but you will end up paying for that. And I was taking and taking and taking my validation. I was taking validation without offering gratitude. I was taking status without offering stillness. I was taking because I was looking for something I did not yet know how to cultivate inside of myself, that I did not know how yet to generate inside of myself. And so my relationship to Step Queen became an exploitative relationship. I was in an abusive relationship with Step Queen and the products and programs I was selling at the time. Not because there was anything wrong with the products and the programs and the services and the offerings, they were absolutely incredible. The biggest problem was that I completely undercharged for them and overpromised because of an insecurity I had not yet healed, an inner child wound that I had not yet looked at. Right? Poverty consciousness that I had not yet untangled from. Stories that I had not yet become conscious of. Would I do it differently now? I don't even know that I would. Do I wish that I would not have hurt people who put their trust and faith in me to guide them through this world? Absolutely. And I've also made a lot of resolutions and restitutions to create a new space for those people to be able to come back so that we can hold them. I've made good on my promises. I just had to get out from underneath the weight of it. And that's something else that we have to realize when we teach our boundaries programs, right? We say this all the time. Today your boundaries might be really strong. Today your boundaries might be, I'm never picking up a dish after your children. I'm never picking up any of your children's dishes. I'm not picking up any dishes. I'm not picking up any socks. I'm not doing any laundry. I'm not doing any housework. That might be your boundary today. And that's okay. Your boundary today might be, I don't want to have a conversation with my teenagers. My boundary today is that I have no internal or ingoing or outgoing communication with my family members. Because that's what I need to do to protect my nervous system so that I can show up in love and compassion and support for them tomorrow. And if what I'm showing up in is resentment, my family doesn't deserve that. What I need to do is go put my time, energy, money back into myself so that I can show up here from a place of generosity so that I can give before I take. Because it is not my family's job to give me worth. It is not my family's job to give me validation. It is not my family's job to give me meaning and purpose. That is my job. It was not Step Queen's job to give me meaning and purpose. It was not my client's job to make me feel like I knew what I was doing. That was my job. And cycles repeat. And karma is a cycle. And karma is a pattern. And I see patterns. And thankfully for you, I see patterns really quickly. And I can interrupt them really quickly. And so would I have done it differently? I don't know that I would have. But there is a day, I'm going to talk about this day, at some point in the future, when I finally made the decision to close down the stepmom story. We had 100 members in the stepmom story, and I made the decision finally to close it down. I had to walk away from it. I was dying. I was literally dying. I was literally in the hospital. I was literally in the hospital for weeks. Okay. And I made the decision to close down the story. And rightfully, people are upset because I made a ridiculous promise that I never should have made in the first place. And rightfully, people were upset because I broke my promise. I broke my word. And one of the things that people said to me, one of the repercussions or backlashes I got from that, somebody said to me, use my own medicine on me. And Sarah loves when this happens. Sarah loves when this happens, when I get tastes of my own medicine. It works. That's the worst part. But as I was closing down the story and kind of dealing with the anger and the backlash from my decision that I had made, one of my clients said to me, how you do something is how you do everything, which is something I say all the time in our programs. And there has been not one single day that has passed since I closed down the story that I have not thought about her saying that to me, that it hasn't looped through my mind, because she was absolutely right. And that's how I know I was a good coach and a good mentor, is because I was able to show them when it was right to be outraged, right? I still showed them to respect themselves. I still showed them to love themselves. I still showed them to stand up for what they believed. And what I did to their minds in the moment, based on their circumstances, was not the right decision. And that's okay to be upset about things when you feel like you've been personally slighted and attacked. And how you do something is how you do everything was a reflection to me about myself avoiding what I had created. I was avoiding the repercussions. I was avoiding taking responsibility for what it is that I created, because I let myself become so overwhelmed and under-resourced that I could not get out of the hole that I put myself within. And the only thing I could do is just close the hole. But how you do something is how you do everything. Well, my client said that to me. It's echoed in my mind every single day. And I knew eventually one day I would make it right. I knew eventually one day I would be able to make good on my promise in a way that was not sacrificing my health, that was not sacrificing my family, that was not sacrificing my sanity. My body, my mind, my spirit were absolutely destroyed. The things we do for love. We do not destroy ourselves for love. That is not love. Love doesn't hurt. That is not love. That was my old definition of what love was, because my old definition says love hurts. Love takes from you. Love always keeps you reaching. Love always keeps you believing you're not good enough yet. Love always makes you think you deserve less than what you have. That was my old paradigm of love. But because of what we teach and the work that I do over and over and over and over again, that's the most beautiful part about getting initiated into this work, is that once you're in, you can't unknow it. And eventually we all get to the same places. I think it's really amazing to look around and see kind of the parallels that are in the lives of so many of us who went through those programs at the same time. It's really miraculous. The biggest mistake you can make in any single relationship is not valuing yourself. The biggest mistake you can make in any single relationship is proving yourself so that they give you something you think you don't already have. I have learned so much by starting a business. I have learned so much by writing a blog. I have learned so much by being a stepmom. I have learned so much by being separated twice from the same man. I have learned so much by moving downtown Edmonton. I have learned so much by being a cat owner. I have learned so much by being in the mountains by myself for weeks. I have learned so much by being in the mountains with clients for weeks. My brain is a sponge. I am one of the fastest learners I know. I am one of the most intelligent people I've ever met, which means I learn things fast. The way I see the world changes quickly. My body of work expands quickly. It becomes better and better and better and better and better each and every single day. And I would hope that you yourself have listened to enough of me to know when you value yourself, when you love yourself, trust yourself, honor yourself, hold yourself, move yourself, believe in yourself, good things have no choice but to happen. And all of that stuff you were seeking from external just becomes inevitable. I'll be back here for an episode tomorrow. I hope to see you in the Peace Palace as a Peace Avenger, on the street, at my table, breaking bread, at DJ Shakti Club night, in my DMs. I hope to see you. I hope to know you. I hope to love you. I hope to take care of you by reminding you that you are the one, only one, who can take care of yourself. I hope to take care of you by reminding you to remember that we can only give as much of ourselves as we have. We can only be for other people what we are to ourselves. And if I, to myself, think that I am not good enough to be paid what I deserve to be paid for my work, that also includes the belief that I don't deserve the love that I want in my partnership or the freedom that I want in my play, right? Or the high-rise apartment that I want or the vehicle that I want. The ripple effect of this is so profound that once you see it, you can't unsee it. And how you do something is how you do everything. And sometimes we have to shift our boundaries. And then those boundaries will shift again as we change. You are also one of the most intelligent people I've ever known in my whole entire life. If you are listening to this right now, then you have been through a gauntlet in this episode. The fact you are listening to this right now means you see the world differently than other people. Nobody else is going to be at this phase of the episode unless something very important is landing and resonating with them. So if you are still listening to this right now, I am asking you, please, my ask, okay, God is the master accountant. My ask is that if you are listening to these words right now, please reach out and send me a DM on Instagram, okay, or a message on Facebook so that I can have a conversation with you, because these conversations are so important and we're having them all around the world. We are ending domestic violence by restoring love to the family home, restoring love to your heart. Peace from the inside out, love from the inside out. If you want love in your stepfamily, you must be that love. If you want peace in your stepfamily, you must be that peace. And when you know who you are, you will. When you hold your standards, when you hold your integrity, you will. And we just get to keep practicing. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to get better and better and better and better at this each and every day, because we're never done. And that's why I always pay to work with mentors. And that is why I always pay attention to people who have been further in this world in places that I want to go. That is why I pay my intentions every time I set a new container, every time I start something new. I pay attention. I pay intention. I pay energy. I pay precision. The things we do for love, the economy of love, time, energy, money, in sacred reciprocity, receiving more than you give, and always giving before you take. Make those two shifts and watch your life change immeasurably. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.